Jashodanandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Jashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Kunjabi Hare Jaya Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Kunjabi Hare Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Vishnupada Paramahansa Privrajakachare Stutara Satashi Shumara Stavangrishla A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swayam Haraj Srila Prabhupada Ki ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Anantakoti Vaishnavarinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Sego Hostri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopagopina Shamakunda Radha Kundigiri Govardhana Ki Shri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Shri Mayapur Dhamma Ki Ganga Mai Ki Jamuna Mai Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tulasi Devi Ki Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jainatai Gaura Premanati All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glorious to Shri Guru. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Tam apatantim Jvalatim Asi Hastam Pada Bhuvam Vipayantim Samudvikshya Nachachala Padanripa Tam Apatanti Jvalatim Asi hastam pada bhuvam Vipayantim samudvikshya Nachachala padanripa Tam apatantim jalam jalatim Asi hastam pada bhuvam Vipayantim
samudviksha.
Nacha chala padan ripaha. Tam apantantim jvalatim. Asi hastam padabhuvam. Vipayantim samudviksha. Nacha chala padan ripaha. That demon. Apapantim, coming forward to attack him. Jvalatim, blazing like fire. Asihastam, with a trident in his hand. Pada, with his footsteps. Bhuvam, the foot surface of the earth. Vipayantim, causing to tremble. Samudviksha, seeing him perfectly. Na, not. Chachala, moved. Padat, from his place. Nilipa, the king. Translation, taking a trident in his hand and making the surface of the earth tremble with his footsteps, that blazing creature came before Maharaj Ambarish. But the king, upon seeing him, was not at all disturbed and did not move even slightly from his position. Purport, Narayana para sarve na kutas chana bhibhyati. Bhagavatam 6:17-28. A pure devotee of Narayana is never afraid of any material danger. There are many examples of devotees such as Prahlad Maharaj, who was tortured by his father but was not at all afraid, although he was only a 5-year-old boy. Therefore, following the example of Ambarish Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, a devotee should learn how to tolerate all such awkward positions in this world. Devotees are often tortured by non-devotees, yet the pure devotee, depending fully on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is never disturbed by such inimical activities. Whoever's phone is constantly pinging, either turn the sound down or turn the sound off. Huh? I'm talking about someone's phone there is constantly pinging. Bing. Then after a few minutes, bing. So turn the sound down or turn the sound off. You want to look at the messages? Great, you do that. But why do we have to hear it? Right? You're looking at it. You don't need to know that there's a message. You can see it. Huh? No, it was pinging before the power went off. It's been pinging since for a while. Is it your phone? Okay, good. Maybe a few phones are doing that. Having a conference. So the position of the devotee is he's unafraid because he's situated at the lotus feet of the Lord. So because of this situation, there's nothing that can disturb him, because what can stop this relationship? The soul's eternal, the Lord's eternal, that relationship's eternal. So there's nothing that can stop that. Right? Fear comes because of not seeing a relationship or worrying that a relationship will go away. Right? Like we have the relationship with the body. We're attached to that. Something happens to the body, that relationship is terminated. So we're worried about that. Or family, friends, situations we're in. So because of material attachment, or in other words, attachment to the temporary, then we have fear. But when we establish ourselves in service to Krishna, then there's no fear, because that relationship, that situation can't be changed. Right? That's the important point. So it's not just that they're really tough and all that kind of thing. It's that there's just no fear, because the relationship is an eternal fact. So someone like Ambarish Maharaj, then, yeah, that's one aspect. The other aspect is the pure devotee doesn't think that the material world is a place of happiness. Means we're here, it's Krishna's energy, it's his inferior energy, and it itself being temporary can't actually provide any lasting happiness. But as Krishna's energy, it can be engaged in Krishna's service. So engaging that energy in Krishna's service, then we get the benefits of rendering service to Krishna. It doesn't matter the realm. So whether it's in the spiritual world, the material world, if it's connected to Krishna, it's all Krishna's energy. And so there's no problem. Right? But it doesn't mean that the temporary aspects of the material world change when you become a devotee. Right? Material world stays the way it is, because everybody else in the world may not be a pure devotee. Right? So it will just go on how it is. The effect for you is it won't disturb you. It won't bother you. Right? Doesn't mean that things don't change, but they're not going to create a disruption in your life. Right? Why is there disruption? If you're a little happy or a little sad, it doesn't disrupt your life. But when there's elation in happiness and lamentation in sadness, that's when it disrupts. So that doesn't happen to the pure devotees. They're always situated in what's the eternal. And what's temporary, it's of no matter. Right? Just like anything temporary that's outside the purview of your perspective doesn't bother you. Right? Something's going on all the time, but you're not worried about it. You're only worried about what's happening in your world. So in the same thing, when your world is in the spiritual world, then what happens here doesn't bother you. Does that make sense? So that's the principle we see. So, yeah. Then another aspect is that whatever situations we're in, whether they're favorable, not so favorable, whatever they may be, then the devotee's not worried that they have to be something really nice. Because if you're giving up material desire, you're giving up karma and jnana. So when we give up karma, That means we're also giving, you know, that means we're giving, we'll generally take it as giving up the tendency towards sinful activities. And we want, because we're doing that, we want the reactions to sinful activities to go away. We expect that. But at the same time is that the pious activities and reactions to that, we're not expecting to go away. We want those benefits. Right? Does that make sense? So we're making this mistake, or gyan, okay, we're not interested in liberation, but mental speculation is fine. Right? So therefore, what are we left with? Okay, I'm not looking for liberation from the reactions of my sins, but I can speculate on how to, you know, generate, create, and enjoy pious results. Right? So the pure devotees, they get rid of both. They're not worried about pious or impious. They're just worried about serving Krishna, because as a devotee, one's working under Krishna's protection. So that means Krishna takes care. So he's going to arrange as he sees is best for our development in Krishna consciousness. So if that means having facility, we'll get it. It means not having facility, we won't have. It may be mixed, it can change, it's just whatever will be best. However, we will be Krishna conscious. The idea is to remember Krishna, always be absorbed in Krishna. So there's no concept that the world has to be nice and that I'm taking up a religious process, so therefore the result of religious process is things should be nice. No, we're taking up the eternal religious process, so the result should be the eternal position. If we're looking at it from the material position, then that's karma. I'm practicing religious things, why are things aren't going nice? That's karma. I'm practicing Krishna consciousness, is Krishna pleased? That's bhakti. And then another aspect that we can consider is that the sense of justice. It's an inherent nature, it's one of the qualities of the soul about righteousness. But that means the actual righteousness, as we see that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in previous verses had pointed out, that Ambarish Maharaj was respecting the Lord and his festival of Ekadasi and the Dwadasi. So in doing that, by respecting Vishnu, then you're not disrespecting any other living entity. If it's not disrespectful to Brahma and Shiva, why would it be disrespectful to Durvasa, who is their junior? Right? At the same time, he tries to maintain that respect. So he's only breaking his fast by water. He's not breaking it with, you know, sitting down and having a full meal. Right? So he's maintained both. He's respected the Lord and he's respected this. So he's following the rule. That's the whole point of righteousness, is what should be done to please Krishna. But this idea of righteousness means this is wrong, it gives a bad reaction. Or this is wrong because it doesn't give a good reaction. And we're considering on the benefit or loss that we'll gain. Then that sense of justice or righteousness, that is material consciousness. Right? Manu makes it very clear, because, you know, we're all, you know, how you say, if we bring up Manu Samhita, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Right? Oh, if you steal something, then you lose a finger or something. Right? This is kind of... So, Manu, yes, gives all the laws. But having given all these laws, and what punishments are there, what things the king should do, what are all the different things, and what are all the prayaschittas, after saying all that, then Manu says, this is what you do for activities that people know about. And those things that people don't know about, you just chant the holy name, read the scriptures, surrender to the Lord. That's the atonement. In other words, chanting is the real atonement. These other things are just to make the mass happy. Literally. Because it doesn't do anything, as Sixth Canto points out. Prayaschitta doesn't do anything for reforming the soul's desire to control and enjoy the material energy. It does zero. But it makes the common person happy because he thinks if everything's just, then my gains will not be taken or lost to other people. I will have my gain. That's the reason that it's there. And because you're dealing with a whole lot of people who think in this way, therefore the law is there. But the whole point is that simply if you surrender to Krishna and he's pleased with that sincerity, then he purifies the heart. Because Prayaschitta will never do it, even on a good day. Right? Prayaschitta may make you think about it, but it's only because you think about it and surrender to the Lord, it's a benefit. So for people who don't think, then maybe it has a benefit. But only if you're in contact with devotional service. Does that make sense? So therefore, Ambarish is not burdened with this sense of justice, even though he's a king, he's an emperor. Because he knows that there is no such thing as justice in the material world that will make everything right. The material world will never be right. The only way it's right is if we're Krishna conscious. And you see situations that are very nice. You see him in Ayodhya, Mathura, Dwarka, Vrindavan. Why? Because they're all Krishna conscious. But it's not that things don't go wrong there. Ram ends up out in the forest. You know, Mathura is attacked 17 times by Jarasandha. You know, Dwarka then is attacked by, you know, how you say, who's it? Dantavakra, no, Danta, not Dantavakra. Shishupal and Salva. They all come and create trouble. You know, that whole conspiracy and, you know, gossip with the Shamantaka jewel. You know, these things happen. So, but from that, then the Lord's pastimes, the absorption in the Lord, all these things. So that's what they're there to create, that pastime, create the interaction. So for Ambarish Maharaj, that Durvasa Muni is acting in an unjust way. Because he's taking only his part of the equation. He's not taking the other. He's taking the part that you invited me to lunch, because that's all he says. He leaves out the part that he was following a brata and all that. So as a guest, you should also be considerate of the others. That's the definition of a guest also. Not that the guest just walks in and he owns the place. Right? So, therefore then, he's not considering the whole thing, while Ambarish was. And so that's why then we're seeing here, because it's constantly going through here, we're on ninth canto. So we have to establish that all these aspects of the karmis, the jnanis, and the yogis, no matter how great they are, do not compare to the Lord, the devotee, and service and devotional service. And we'll see this keeps being proven constantly throughout the Bhagavatam. So Ambarish Maharaj doesn't have to worry because he's not trying to make the material world a perfect place. He's trying to create perfect opportunities to serve the Lord. But he's not thinking that material world's actually going to get any better. And whatever reactions are there from his previous activities, whatever they are, then Krishna will arrange that. However he's going to arrange, there's nothing he can do. So what will he do? Take shelter of Krishna. That's the only solution. He takes shelter of Krishna, whatever will happen, his relationship with Krishna will go on. Does this make sense? Yeah. So Ambarish Maharaj is not, therefore, distracted by mundane consciousness like Durvasa is. Even though he is a great yogi, and of yogis, he's a very powerful yogi because we see after this pastime, he will go back to Brahmaloka singing the glories of devotees in devotional service. Right? So how many yogis you know that after spending time here just go back to Brahmaloka? Right? Not a whole lot, right? So yeah, so he's and so you're not going to get a much more powerful yogi than him. So by the example of here with the yogi, then it's done. Another aspect that is there is Durvasa, because of this infringement in his mind of dealing with a guest, then immediately he blames Ambarish that he's not a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Right? As if karma is actually what makes bhakti work. Right? So it's not our judgment. It's what does scripture say? What do the acharyas say? What's the example? Krishna says someone may do something wrong. Ambarish has done nothing wrong. But even if he did, why would that not make him a devotee? Because devotional service between the soul and God. Now you make some mistake with your conditioning. How does that have something to do with the devotional service? Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that, you know, how does that have an effect? You know, you have, let's say, some prasad, you're supposed to take it somewhere, so then you take it in a Rolls Royce because it's prasad, you know, so therefore it's prasad. But let's say another time you have to take it on a tricycle or something. You know, we're not talking a Harley tricycle here, we're just talking something that the little kids have, right? So, you take it there. Now, when you get there, now is the person going to say, oh, this is not prasad, you brought it on a tricycle. It's like, what do the two have to do with each other? Right? So that's the thing, is what does the material distraction have to do with the devotion? Not that it can't eclipse it, but it's not because of that there's no devotion. It's because if you forget Krishna, that's why there's no devotion. So we have to be very, very careful. Karma does not make bhakti work better. Bhakti makes bhakti work better. In fact, bhakti is the only reason karma and jnana work. It's the other way around. Without bhakti, karma does not work. Jnana does not work. It said so many things. You have to have devotion to make these work. Whether you understand Krishna's Bhagavan, Paramatma, or Brahman, or you don't at all, but you somehow or another devote yourself to following whatever rules are there, the rules of laws of nature, or even your own made-up rules, but you're sincere in following them, then because Krishna's rule, then you'll get some result because you're worshiping the Lord. But it has to be done with devotion. You see, whoever's successful in anything, they're devoted to that thing. And since everything's Krishna, they're worshiping Krishna. They won't get any devotional benefit for it because they're not recognizing Krishna as a person. And they're not doing it to please Krishna. But it is Krishna. So they will get benefit. So karma and jnana will not function without bhakti. Right? And so then those who know this may take up some actual direct devotional activities until they get what they want, then they'll stop. Right? Like, does that make sense? So that goes on also. But it's still better. That's better. That's recommended. Rather than not recognizing Krishna at all. Daksha, he's worshiping the Lord for his own particular performance duties. We don't hear of him anymore talking about devotional service or practicing. We don't hear of him as a great devotee. But he knows when push comes to shove, you turn to Vishnu. Right? So he'll do that. But he doesn't know so much about, he doesn't have that realization. Right? So then he'll temporarily take it up to get that benefit. So that's bhakti misra karma. Right? Well, devotees, then they're performing devotional service, but their attachment to the material energy may be mixed. So it's karma misra bhakti. So it's actually bhakti, but it's mixed with karma. Well, the others, it's karma, and they may mix some bhakti. Right? So this whole mentality that you've done this wrong, he can't be this anymore, I've seen that. Pujari does something wrong and all that, and so, oh, he's not a Brahmin, he's not a Pujari, he never was, he was just, you know, false and bogus. Where's this come from? What mundane platform is this from? Because it is not spiritual. Devotional service is not affected by these things. What can affect your devotional service is Vaishnava Aparad. Now that can affect your devotional service because it's a direct attack on your connection with devotional service. Right? We know Krishna through Vaishnavas. We offend Vaishnavas, then that can affect. But all the other stuff can't affect the bhakti. It may temporarily stop it, but it won't get rid of it. But karma, you miss out on a little thing in karma, it doesn't work. Right? Let's say I'm cooking something, very elaborate recipe. And in this recipe, I do everything perfect. I mean absolutely perfect. Like that, you know? Like that. Does that make sense? You know, the guys on, you know, how you say, Master Chef, they're just like crying in ecstasy, it's so perfect. Right? But you didn't put salt. But the technique, the ingredients, how you dealt with them, science, you know, by the art and science, it's just perfect. So is it going to be good? No. Complete waste. So that's what the Bhagavad Gita says. If it's not done for Krishna, it's a waste of time. So in karma, because there is no connection to Krishna, therefore it's based on how perfectly you materially do, because now you're worshiping Krishna as that ritual or that technique. So unless you do it perfectly, you will not get your perfect result. To the degree you worship Krishna, that he'll reciprocate. Right? And so you won't get your result very nicely. But in bhakti, because anything devotion connected to Krishna is perfect, right? Because we see there's perfect, more perfect, most perfect. So the neophyte devotee is perfect. That's why they're on the platform of perfection. They actually are liberated. But because of attachment, they can't realize it, but they are. Then the Madhyama is more perfect, and the Uttama is most perfect. Right? So for the devotee, then they're always on this perfect platform. So devotional service, what they have, is perfect. Even you say it's small and not so much devotion, but still, that drop of bhakti is more than the whole ocean of illusion of the material world. Right? If I bring in like a whole truckload of illusion that doesn't exist, is that greater in scale than one drop of reality? No. Therefore, bhakti is always successful. So with that appreciation, then we can see is that Ambarish Maharaj, he's not disturbed. He's surrendered to the Lord. He's not distracted by karma and jnana. He's not worried about his own facility or loss of that. He knows Krishna will take care. So either he serves here, or if things don't go really well, he'll go back to Godhead and serve there. The point is the relationship with Krishna, that will always remain. Like that. Does that make sense? So Prabhupada's point is the pure devotees, they're never, because they take shelter of the mercy of the Lord, they're never disturbed by the mundane. It doesn't bother them. Any questions or comments? Or yes. This microphone goes straight back. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I just want to check that I understood correctly. You were talking about a neophyte devotee being perfect and liberated, but he doesn't know it or he doesn't realize it or...
No.
Did you say it's because of attachment?
Means it's like this. You could get another... I think one example would be like that of when you have a bad dream, and when you first wake up, you're still seeing the dream, and you're still maybe affected by it, so you're still thinking about the dream, but technically you're awake. So then you're going to relate to everybody else, not by you're awake, but you're talking about the dream. Oh, I had this bad dream, and this and that, and had, you know, that's what's going to be your conversation, is the dream, not that you're awake, now what to do. So like that, so it just takes time that for them to adjust. That's why devotees aren't really impressed with liberation. Because liberation is a situation, not a goal. You know, it's just like, let's say you want to buy something. Okay? Where do you buy things? Right? In a store. So being in a store, that's the situation you want to be in to buy something. So is it about being in the store and not buying? It's about the ability to buy something. Right? So, therefore, liberation is just the situation that devotees are in. Because being in that situation, then not being, contaminated or absorbed in the material energy, they're free from that. Now they can fully absorb themselves in Krishna. So it's a natural position to be in, but what's the point unless you use it? You know, it's like you buy something and never use it. What's the point of having it? It's the use of it that's important. You get a car, never drive it. What's the point? You know what I'm saying? So liberation only has a value in its service to Krishna, that you're not doing anything with karma or jnana that's material. So when one takes up devotional service, one's not working under karma. One's working under Krishna's protection. But the point is we're conditioned, so we still identify with that. So it takes a while for us to be convinced that we're actually the soul and not the body. You know what I'm saying? Does that work? Yes? Okay. Something else? Yes. Oh, yes, Maharaj.
Well, Maharaj, basically, Srivastava means Vishnu Aparada gets operated.
Yes.
And that's what caused all this trouble.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's why you see Sudarshan's chasing him. It's not that Sudarshan needs some exercise or something. And so therefore he decided to... And Durvasa Muni's a real fast runner, right? You know? Even though he's wearing peg shoes, he's staying ahead of Sudarshan. I'm sure Sudarshan's also giving him a little space just to keep him moving like that, you know? Because what's the fun if you catch him so quickly, you know? You know? You know, it's like the cat, you know, it catches the mouse and lets it go and then catches it again and then lets it go, like that, yeah. So it's because of Vaishnava Aparada, that's why. Otherwise, he's such a great yogi, what materially actually could disturb him? Because Manu also mentions, when you have these great Brahmins, they're so powerful in that, what technically they can do wrong? Not that there's not a reaction, but the reaction compared to what right they've done, it's so minimal, it's like spots on the moon. So, not that it's okay, but it's just that it won't affect their brahminical position. And that's Brahmins. Now, what about Vaishnavas? So, he wouldn't be affected by... Now, if he was dealing with an ordinary king and he made this, it would just be another Durvasa story. But his position as Durvasa Muni would go on. He would not be affected. Because it's not that this is the first time he's done this. Right? You know? He's famous for this. So, but it hasn't affected him. He's still Durvasa there. But now he does it, and now he's being chased by Sudarshan because it's Vaishnava Aparada. So Vaishnava is way more powerful than sin. You know, and that's why, because devotional service is so powerful, one name of Krishna that you chant, that's Nama Bas. It'll get rid of all sin of the universe. Some may claim, no, that's only a pure name. No, pure name will give you prema. Nama Bas will get rid of all sin. We have to know the power of the name. We always have to understand sin and liberation are not a big thing. Not that we're not careful about them. But the point is this, compared to devotional service and the holy name, they just don't compare. Like that. You know. So, yes, so it's like that. Okay, very good. Thank you. Something else? Yes. You have to turn it on. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes, it's on. Okay.
Maharaj, you are talking about karma mixed bhakti and bhakti mixed karma. So in the life of devotee, can you, in respect of life, a devotee's life, can you please explain it once again?
It means devotees are doing devotional service. So technically speaking, devotional service means it's real. So technically speaking, devotion has its nature, right? It's pure. Not that we make devotional, we're not the cause of devotional service. So we're not the cause of mixed devotional service or pure devotional service. It's not because of me, now it's pure devotional service, because me, now it's mixed. Devotional service is always pure. But you can mix something pure with something impure. Like Prabhupada gives the example, you have milk, you can put ink into it. But the milk is still pure milk, it just has ink, which is not pure in it. Now the effect will be that of being mixed, but that's because of that, it's not because of the devotional service. Right? So in the beginning of devotional service, being conditioned, we have our attachments, you know, on the physical, mental, and intellectual platforms. And our particular perspective of, level of consciousness that we're at, you know, what's our, if it's about ourselves, whether it's about, the society, whether it's about religious principles, whether it's about being freed from material entanglement, but all these material options are there. So being accustomed to that, we tend to apply that on devotional service. So we overlay this on devotional service. So that overlaying it is called aropya. It means we layer it over. We think it's valuable because of this. I value this. Devotional service happens, the two happen to line up. Therefore, the devotional service is valuable. So I make devotional service valuable because of my values. Right? But the point is it's connected to Krishna. It is devotional service. We do progress. We get purified. We advance. But it'll be slower than if it didn't have the mix. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's just like for the swan, you give them pure milk or milk with water, they'll only drink milk. But if you give them pure milk, they'll drink more milk in a shorter amount of time. You understand? They don't have to sift the water out. I mean, in the time that they take, they just get that milk, but there's less milk, you know. So that's the whole point, is Krishna just takes that devotional part. The great personalities, they take that part. They leave the other part. Right? That's the swan. They take the bhakti part, leave the material part. Try to get them to understand how to be just engaged in pure devotion. That's why they're so inspiring. Like that. If someone is totally unaware of what's mixed, then you might point it out. You know, that it'll help them by not being engaged in these sinful things, then it will help. Devotional service will go better. Or if they're proud of what they're doing, then it might be pointed out in a stronger way, so that they're aware as this aspect's not devotional service. But otherwise, you take that devotional part, and that's what's then cultivated. That's what's, and we see when we do that, we find relationships and everything go very nice. Right? Does that make sense? Just like, let's take, a very vivid example. In the modern scenario, then men and women like to get together by using their own experience by interacting. Right? And so, let's say things are going fairly okay. Okay? And so, what are they taking? They're saying, "Okay, there's promise in this. This could be there's something happening here in the relationship, right? What are they doing? They're taking what's good, and what's bad, they figure, oh, it'll go with time, or we can make adjustments, or this or that. So they're taking what's good, and so the relationship's going very well. Now, let's say it goes well enough, they get married. Now, somehow or another, the method switches. Now they only look at what's bad." Because it's supposed to be perfect, but it's not. Well, before, it's potential that you could get to, you have to work. But as soon as you get married, work stops. Now it's supposed to be perfect, right? Because that marriage ceremony somehow or another makes everything perfect, right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole difficulty, is we see relationships go down when we look at the negative. And they go up when we look at the positive. Not that you're not aware of both, you know, because you want to avoid the negative and deal with the positive. But the point is it's the positive that makes things function. So, why? Because that's the spiritual principle. You're looking at the devotion. The secondary is not the important aspect. Though in the spiritual world, the secondary is perfect, but it's not about the secondary, because the secondary is Krishna. Like Mother Yashoda cooks for Krishna, right? The primary is her love for Krishna. The secondary is that she's cooking and using the pots and kitchen and technique and like that. You understand? So, because that secondary is connected to Krishna purely, then the secondary becomes perfect. Whether or not the technique is perfect or not. Now we know of Mother Yashoda, it is perfect. Right? But in the same way in the material world, people do things to connect it to Krishna. It becomes perfect whether the technique is perfect or not. But as we see, like Mother Yashoda, she's always trying to develop and everything to make it nicer for Krishna. Naturally, you develop the secondary. You develop your technique. Not that, oh, it's good enough. You understand? It's about Krishna. So technique is valuable only because of its engagement in Krishna service. We think technique makes devotional service. We don't understand devotional service. We don't know what it is. Does that make sense? You know, all things are connected. Does that make sense? Like you have, let's say, someone goes to the beach, right? Okay? And you go to the beach generally to spend time in the water. But technically, on the beach, is there water? No. So that's the whole point, is you go in the water. So someone who doesn't know, they lay down in the sand, start moving their hands and legs. Wow, this is great swimming, you know? You know? So that's the whole point. They have the general idea that this ballpark is devotional service, but they can't tell the difference between what's the field and what are the stands. So they can't play ball very well. I mean, you could play ball in the stands, but, you know, the seats get in the way and hard to run and, you know, all that kind of jazz. You understand? So that's the difficulty, is that one has to know the difference. That's why we see in this ninth canto, it's breaking down our ideas of that it's religiously correct. That's why it's devotional service. No, it's connected to Krishna. That's why it's devotional service. So whether karma, jnana, or yoga is performed perfectly, if it's not connected to Krishna, it's not bhakti. Right? And by adding just a touch of bhakti, that's where it starts, it becomes perfect. And then you can make it more and more perfect. Does this make sense? So it's a different mentality. In other words, up to coming in contact, up to the point of shraddha, in devotional service, we have not thought about activity and consciousness and that in this way ever. Does that make sense? So as long as we've been in the material world, this is new. The idea that karma and jnana are not the primary, I'm not the center of attention, that it's not about that, it's about Krishna, it's about bhakti, this is the first time we're hearing about it. And that's why, even though it's so simple and it's said a million times, it's kind of like, what's that? What are you saying? But you know, he's a devotee and he's doing this and this is wrong. So, you know, he's not managing well. Or he did the artik wrong. So how can that be devotee? We'll keep asking that question. But it said here, no, it's not that. It's the bhakti. And then we'll look at the other way, is because it's about the secondary, and I like secondary. Oh, so I don't have to do it right. I just have to do whatever I feel like. It's still secondary. So that's the point. We either accept or reject Niyamagraha. But the point is, no, it's about Krishna. That position, that's what makes everything perfect. Does that make sense?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, we're good. Thank you. Yes?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. I just want to check whether I got this thing correctly or not. Amrish Maharaj was a pure devotee.
Yes.
And while he had, in this case, he had two interactions. One was with Lord and one was with Duvasa Muni.
Yes.
So he did both the things very meticulously and correctly. But in our case, as a neophytes, so we just overlook the other secondary thing in the name of the primary thing.
And overlook the primary in the name of the secondary.
Yeah, both things sometimes we do.
Yeah, make sure you get both. Don't.
So how to balance, as a neophyte, how to balance that dealings with the Lord and dealings with the worldly things?
Okay, the first principle of to make it easy is we're looking at it as two separate things. There's the Lord and then there's the material world. So there's this devotional service, and then I have to be practical. You know, I got to maintain the family, I got to work, I got to make money, I got to pay the bills, you know, all that kind of jazz. You know, my kid's sick, got to go to the dentist, or this and that. You know, there's the reality of the world, and then there's the devotional service, which is nice, and I can fit it in, you know, when it works. But the point is what is this material world made out of? Right? Is it your energy? You extended this? You know, your friends did? You know, the government did. You know, I mean, it's who did? It's Krishna. And why do things work in the way they do? Right? There's the laws of nature. Even the materialistic, atheistic scientists accept the laws of nature. They just don't want to accept all of them, that's all. Right? And so then, But what are those laws? Why are those laws there? Who's controlling it? That means Krishna's controlling it. So that you can go to a place, you can travel, and there's various ways you can do that, various kinds of vehicles or that, you can even walk like that. Then you get to a place, in that place some people are doing some kind of economic endeavor, you can assist in that and they will pay you for that. Where does that principle come from? Right? It's based on religion. It's based on karma. You do work, you get a result. You do good work, you get a good result. You do bad work, you get a bad result. Now when you go to work, you do a good job, you get a good result. You do a bad job, you get a bad result. It's Krishna's law. It's not a corporate law. You understand? Even the corporation may have all kinds of fancy words for it and phrases and that. It's Krishna's law. So there isn't anything. Why is the child like a child? Okay, you have a baby here, okay, in Bengal. Now they're a three-month-old baby. How are they going to act? Right? The same as, let's say you go to the other side of India and the Gujarati baby. What about a Punjabi baby, you know? Punjabi baby gets up and does the dance or something, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? No. South India, what if we go to another country? You know what I'm saying? We go over to Africa, we go to Europe. We go up to Russia. They all act the same. Why are all babies... Where does the babiness from babies come from? Krishna. And how you have to deal with them, it's the same. That comes from Krishna. You understand? So a wife, how she behaves, how a husband behaves, how the children behave, how the grass behaves, how your dog or your cat behaves, or your parakeet or your pet hamster. You know what I'm saying? If I bring a big wheel, you know, that goes around and put a cat there, they'll just kind of look at you like, are you kidding? Right? But you put a hamster there and all right, it's on. You know, it's happening. Right? You understand? And it works like that. So the laws are Krishna's laws. You drop something anywhere, it goes down. You stick your finger in water, you get wet. You go out in the sun, you get hot. It's Krishna's laws. Does that make sense? So, what's not Krishna? So that's the mistake, is we think whatever we're dealing with, this is the real world, and then there's Krishna consciousness. Like sometimes devotees say, well, in the normal world, it's like, no, the normal world's Krishna's world. The abnormal is where we think it's not Krishna's. Right? So the demigods, they know it's Krishna's, and they try to act in that way, though they forget. The demons, you know, down in the lower planets, they know it's also Krishna's, but as long as they don't bother him, he won't bother them. It mentions that in Nectar Devotion. Right? And the Rakshasas, they're not stupid. Right? So that means most of the universe knows it all belongs to Krishna. So here on this one little part of Bhumandala, Bhumandala has seven islands, right? The smallest island is Jambudvip. Jambudvip has nine parts. On that, and it's a small part, we're talking about the bottom where it's like a sliver, right? We're not talking about the middle where it's quite wide, right? A sliver, that's what we're on. So we're on 1/9 of 1/7, right? Then you take that ninth, that's Bharat Varsha. Now we're on Bharata Khanda, we're on 1/9 of that. And that's where the seven oceans, seven seas, and all that we call the big bad world, right? And so we're on a small portion of that. And so people here may not understand that. But everywhere else, the whole rest of Bhumandala, they know who Krishna is, right? That's fifth canto Bhagavatam. All these different living entities from all over the universe are coming in Prithu Maharaj and the earth, and they're all getting benefit, and they're all offering prayers. So they all know. Right? So therefore, it's Krishna's universe. It works the way he says. So this whole idea, this is my life and my... That's the conditioning. So when we see that it works this way, so I have to behave at work not because the boss said so, because that's how work works. Right? Seventh canto, when it's talking about Varnashram, Narad Muni to that, then he mentions that for someone who works for someone else, or is dependent upon someone else, then they have to behave properly with them. They have to behave properly with their associates.
and with their, you know, who's important to them, you know, family or friends or that, and they have to catch the mood and try to assist in that. It's right there. If you do those four things, no matter what job you're doing, it will work. And if you don't do those things, to that degree you're not doing, and to that degree they have no one else, then your position goes down. You know what I'm saying? So you can say, no, it's the corporate world. No, it's Krishna's world. Right? You understand? So that's what we have to appreciate, is that there isn't something different. Now, those things that the goal of it is directly Krishna, we call direct devotional service. We chant the holy name, it's directly to please Krishna, because the name is Krishna. The deity is Krishna. Right? The Dham is Krishna's place. The devotees are Krishna. The Bhagavatam is Krishna. So these we call direct devotional activities. Now, other activities than that, those are called indirect. Right? So family life, your job, all these are all indirect. Varnashram is direct. But what it means is that you could do many things with it. So you have to take a step or two to get to the direct. Like I get up in the morning, I take a bath so that I'm clean to go to Mangalartik. Right? So I go to Mangalartik, I have to get there. To get there, I have to actually be ready. To be ready, I have to take a bath. So therefore, it's indirect. But because the goal is pleasing Krishna, it's devotional service. But you could take a bath just because, hey, you're going out on a date. Right? You know, so not exactly devotional service. Right? You know what I'm saying? So the point is indirect can be used for Krishna or not, though it's still Krishna's laws, it works in that. So that's why you're dealing with Krishna, you use it properly, you'll get a good result. You use it badly, you'll get a bad result, but always mundane. But you're taking a bath to please Krishna, then you'll get a spiritual result. But it doesn't mean you won't get the material benefits also. Not that devotees take a bath, they don't get the health benefits of being clean. They get that also, and devotion. While the karmis just get the health. Understand? So we have to broaden what we're doing and understand how to connect Krishna to everything, not become more and more expert at the secondary. That's a fallacy these days, is that, no, the more expert I come in knowledge and skills, then devotional service will go better. That's for neophytes. It doesn't work. It doesn't mean that it's what neophytes should do, it's what they do. That's what makes the mix. Does that make sense? So that's the... Is that okay? Yeah. Yeah? Okay. End here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Gaur Hari Gaur.